When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes, the number is 1-833-703-0424. The show is recorded live the second and fourth Sunday of every month. Please subscribe to Alien Theorists Theorizing on YouTube to watch it live, or patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast to watch on demand. The cosmic channels are open.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Got a little bit of early Cosmic Channels for two reasons. One, to, you know, get those East Coasters get an early call. And two, so the West Coasters can go to Mother's Day dinner. That's why. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
A little afternoon delight, Cosmic Channels here.
Afternoon delight.
Pew!
I was going to get a decent late time in the UK, I guess.
Morning. Probably the hardest setup of all time, I would say, today.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes late from a change subject because Ryan decided to change his computers. Classic.
I didn't decide to. I was forced to by the degradation of constant use over the last 3 years. My computers have blown up. And I'm struggling. I'm fucking struggling. I'm about to flip something. Something's getting flipped.
It's got to reroute the power through the deflector shields. And been climbing through Jeffrey's tubes.
All I'm saying, Zell, is if you need some help, Matty, don't be afraid to ask. I'll come over. Give me a call.
I'm going
to
need
it worse. You need some hard drives installed, bud?
Yeah, I'm going to need it. I'm going to need a lot of help.
I got tons of experience with those tiny little fucking screwdrivers and all that. I got you, bud.
All right. Now, because we switched this late, so I don't know. It might just be us talking to ourselves for 40 minutes, so. If not, I'm going to leave the answering machine on tonight at the regular time. And if we can't get any calls now, we'll use those calls. we'll use the answering machine here. I don't know. Is anyone even watching live? Because good question.
Yeah. Yes. Some.
Oh, we got some.
What's some? Three.
Six.
Three. Is it really three? Yeah. Remote viewing, baby.
Fantastic.
Okay, someone's calling. We're about to find out and see if this works. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello, Zell. How are you tonight?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you perfectly.
Well, that's not bad then. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. This is Noah.
We know. What's going on, buddy?
Okay. Anyway, I have a question for you guys, but it does come with a story. Not my story, but it's a story from a famous author. If that's okay.
A story from a famous author. Keep it. Let's keep it quick.
Robert Munch.
Okay. Huh?
Robert Munch?
Dr. Seuss?
No.
Rodol?
Think of more of Odd Thomas. Think of more of the Odd Thomas series.
Okay. Like The Train? Thomas the Train?
Dean Koontz.
Oh, Dean Koontz. Yeah, not Dean Koontz.
All right.
Not a lot of pictures in those books, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, Dean Koontz, he was being interviewed about the Odd Thomas series at one point, and he was asked, you know, whether or not he believed that there is a way for the dead to reach out to people sometimes. And he says, I have a story about that. So what happened? So he recollects at one point in 1988, when he was working late one night, he had received a call on his phone line, and on the other end of the line, it sounded like a woman, very distant in the call, and all she had said was, "Be careful of your father." And Vince was like, "What? Hello? Hello?" Line went silent, and he hung up the phone. The thing about this is that his phone line was privated, and it's actually unlisted, so there'd be no way to call him unless you're very close to him. And number two, the woman on the other end of the line sounded like his mother, who had actually died 20 years earlier.
Oh, shit. It's very appropriate for Mother's Day.
I apologize for that.
No, it's good. He's talking to his dead mom. I'd love to fucking call from Sal.
Okay, well, anyhow... This that message to him came true 2 days later when the nursing home called about his father. And they said to him, you know, your dad's being really weird. We're this close to kicking him out. You need to come down here and situate him right now. So Dean's like, okay. Now, he's had to deal with his dad before. He had a very, very, very bad childhood. Like, he has talked about his dad and not very fond memories. And so when he went down to the nursing home, he was kind of started to be more hyper aware of his surroundings with them. Like, he didn't know what was going to happen, but he was watching very closely. And as soon as he entered his dad's room, his dad made no, he did not take his time. He immediately grabbed a knife from his drawer and lunged and tried to kill him, trying to kill his own son. Now, luckily, Dean Koontz was able,
What? No, just reacting to the story.
What a Koontz.
Oh, sorry. But Dean Koontz, he was able to wringle it off him and then take the knife and just throw it away. And they sent his dad to a psychiatric hospital afterwards. And where they diagnosed him with, like, paranoid schizophrenia or something like that. Something along those lines, I think. And that's kind of the whole story. And the question that I had for you guys is, do you personally believe that the dead could reach out to us, like, in any kind of way, whether it be to warn us or something, maybe just to talk to us? What's your view on this?
Can the dead reach out to talk to us?
Yeah, like, in any way, like, just like Dean Koontz's, like, just like the way it happened to Dean Koontz or in any other fashion.
We do know that... It is possible, but you do need an official Hasbro board.
Yeah.
True.
That's
a Ouija board.
It's called Ouija. Yeah. You need
some type of company connect. Has perfected Ouija technology. Yeah. We know that.
Use orphan's blood for the ink. Is with any older woman that has a crystal ball? The surefire method? Cards?
I heard she's got a bunch of Yu-Gi-Ohs and she flips around, lets you know what's happening, talks to dead people.
Yeah, I think, if there is a way, there needs to be some type of... like connection between, let's say, spirit phone. We need a spirit phone.
Yes. Voice box.
Let's think.
If you listen to Zach, expert Zach Baggins. They've got their, what's their little speak and spell thing? God damn it. What is that thing? That thing's amazing.
Siri?
No, not Siri. They're little, what is it? That little, they have that little thing that, like, it just picks out random words that I guess ghosts pick off their machine. I don't know, but I think communication.
Is it made by Hasbro?
No.
Okay. Well,
pretty sure. I don't know. It would have to be something to go between the two. I don't know. Like go between. I don't know. It's a
spirit foam, a Ouija board. Boom. I got two. I almost bought three. Andrew sent me one on Messenger. Like, yeah, check this one out.
Yeah, that one was cursed. That one looked
fucking cursed.
That's made with orphan's blood.
Yeah, definitely.
1000%.
Yeah, didn't we have the plans for a ghost box or something? Like, didn't we have one? It was me. Like, I sent you guys that picture of the one, and it was like an amp. It looked like a guitar amp or something with like LEDs.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
That, and then there's a demon board. Going to make a demon board as well.
So, what's the difference between a demon board and a Ouija board?
Demon board's better.
One demon board's made with virgin's blood.
Well, Ouija board, you know, it can open up all portals to any, like, all the different realms. Demon board is specifically for demons.
Hell. Demons. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah,
like, specifically, you know what you're getting. You know, if you play demon board, you know you're getting Zozo.
You're getting
Beelzebub. You're getting the demons. You're getting the higher end demons.
Premium.
It's premium.
It's a premium option.
Use a demon board.
Please do. You say you're going to give us a demon board? Oh, see. Oh.
I don't even know what a demon board looks like. I would just love to see y'all just play with it.
It's coming.
Oh, definitely. I hope so.
It's also going to be playing alone.
I think Mattel makes them.
I'm out. Strictly a Hasbro guy.
Awesome. All right, Ben. Thanks for being the test call, the first test call of the day. There's no what's in the box this week, mainly because I totally forgot.
I had to make sure though, because I didn't want to have to call back again.
You can guess what's on my desk if you want. I'm holding the item on my desk. Holding it.
A pencil.
Wrong. Wrong. All right, Noah. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you again.
See ya. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Take it easy, buddy.
Hey.
At least it is working, at least. So there you go. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Yeah, is this the suicide channel?
I hope not.
Yeah, we'll all hang up and give you 15 minutes with Dan, but you will be charged $5.99 a minute.
That's the premium lie. Suicide channel.
Yeah, you got to pay for help here.
Yeah, you got to pay to live.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from America.
America. Fuck yeah. Fuck
yeah.
All right, good enough.
Yeah.
What do you got for us tonight?
What do you think is going to happen on the 9th?
On the 9th?
Yeah.
Like tomorrow?
Like tomorrow?
It's Monday, so it sucks. Where they're like drilling it in your head that like Victory Day is going to be some shit.
Oh, that's Russian Victory Day? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, every day's been some shit.
Like, no, like, I have anxiety problems, and I'm looking at the news, and I'm like, God damn it, I can't even watch or read anything.
Yeah, that's the problem right there.
Yeah.
So, sorry, like, the war's going to end in Ukraine on the 9th? Is that what they're saying?
Oh, yeah, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, he's nailed it.
No, I've read some stuff. They're like, oh, because... No, the victory, they wanted to get all the stuff done. Russia wants a victory for Victory Day. And I don't know. So we'd be guessing what's going to happen. Like, I don't.
But isn't it like it's already Victory Day in Russia, though, right? Like,
it's always
like
Victory Day.
No, what I'm saying is it's May 9th there already.
No, yeah, because they're on the other side of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for the world. Yeah. So that makes sense. Okay, good. We're not all dead. Hey,
still here.
Victory Day.
Hey, every day is full of small victories, my friend.
Okay. Yeah, I got nothing.
Hey, you made it through?
I thought I was calling a suicide hotline.
No, hopefully not.
the dorky guys that talk about aliens.
That is us.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right, you... No, you're good. We're fucking back. Hey, you know, you can rest assured that we don't know what's happening on Victory Day, but we can assure you that it's probably nothing more than what's been happening for the last 6 weeks or and 8 weeks.
We're, like, we're reverse Nostradamus. If we make a prediction, it's polar opposite.
Yeah. Anything we say, true. Yeah, don't want that.
It's going to be a bunch of drunk Russians playing Tom Cochran Victory Day and just popping bottles of vodka.
Alien theorists that they do try to nuke shit and the aliens come down and we just get to see it all.
Like see the aliens stop the nukes?
Yeah, because that's the one thing I have hope for right now is, you know, Putin's fucking crazy. He knows he's going to get murdered if he doesn't present something in the next few days that makes sense for why that 20,000 Russian troops have died. They've lost 10% of their military tanks and helicopters and planes. That entire society relies upon the fact that he's the boss. And now he ain't the fucking boss. So he's got to do something or he knows he's going to be murdered.
People tried to murder him before, so I don't know. I really don't know. I'm hope for the best.
I'm not really caught up on the Russian politics. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, who's in charge? That's about it.
Like what goes on with like what was it in the '70s, that alien in Russia, like all the Russian shit that got released. Like what was that one in the '70s in Russia that it was like jellyfish type do y'all not remember this?
Yeah, Petrozavodsk phenomenon. Yeah.
Oh yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen like recent images of SpaceX's launch, like where it's a rocket going up into the atmosphere in different stages? You see it, and then there's a jellyfish-like thing that drops over it. Like, I mean, that just seems like a Russian launch. But when you look at all the other things where nuclear sites are explored and shut down for 10 to 15 seconds or made to launch for 10 to 15 seconds. Like to me, it seems like this is our best chance at figuring out what the United States is hiding. Like we have military technology in the United States that is far advanced of what most people would even consider possible. And that's the UFOs, in my opinion. And the fact that we will never get to see them because of private technology is a crime against the American people. It's a crime against the world because we need free energy. And like just not being able to.
I would love some free energy.
So I hope that a nuclear war does start tomorrow or today.
Whoa.
And they shut that shit down.
Yeah, they shut it down. They shut it down. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bomb gets launched. Alien comes in. Some super technology grabs the bomb, vaporizes it, sends it to a different dimension, and we're good?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that hasn't happened yet. God damn it. Sometimes you boys see me on,
I mean, just... I will just say, yesterday, yesterday the CIA director said that there's no signs that Putin's moving or readying any type of nuclear thing. Yeah, they made that announcement yesterday.
Maybe
I read that.
So back in the interest of the atomic weapons, aliens have already dismantled them all. They're incapable of firing. So we've all just been playing this game of chicken, but everyone knows their nukes don't work anymore.
I like that. It's probably my favorite one.
I like that too. Okay, I'll take that one.
All right, let's go with that. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Bye. Yeah, like that's. Oh man! All right. Well, people are calling for AM edition or early edition. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello. How's it going?
We're doing well. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Richard, calling from Alberta.
Richard.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. So I have a story for you.
Perfect.
Let's hear it.
Pick off another one here. So, since it's Mother's Day, I'll stick to somewhat Mother's Day theme, or a mother theme, I should say. So, I've told you the stories before about around by my grandparents' house. Well, there was a section of land that was being logged just to the northwest of them, about like not even half a mile northwest. And the crew that was operating it was actually far off relatives from, it would be a married in aunt, it would be her family. So actually the aunt, since she grew up in that industry, she was actually running the skidder as well. And so they're working in a slosh. She's doing her thing, pulling logs up. And all of a sudden she heard a girl's voice call. And she was like, those old skidders were talking back in the 80s. They're loud. But she could hear this girl call her, right? And she just heard, Mommy. And she thought she was kind of hearing things, whatever, right? Because you shouldn't hear anything. So she kept working away, and all of a sudden she heard it again. Mommy. No. So she actually stopped, and she looked around. She's thinking, because she had two kids, a boy and a girl. And she's thinking, holy crap, did they follow me? Right? Because they didn't live. They only lived a mile down the road, if that. So she shut the skidder off, and she heard it again. But it sounded a little bit further away. So she jumps off the skidder and she's listening and she could hear this girl's voice, Mommy. So she starts walking across the slash towards this voice and she's walking north, right? Her house is to the south. So she's walking and she'd stop and she'd listen and she'd start to walk again and she'd hear it again. But she couldn't see any kid. Finally, she got to basically the tree line, the end of their cut block. And she could hear the voice again from deep in the woods. She heard it just as loud again, just Mommy. She thought, nope, I am not going in there.
Oh. Yeah, that's some fucking skinwalker shit.
Yes. Yep. She ended up talking to her father who owned the company and he heard it, but he heard a boy calling Daddy. Well, what they got thinking after is, about another mile north of them is a spook hole.
Oh, no.
Sure, that's related.
Probably related.
If it was something trying to coax them off into the distance or what it was.
Oh, trying to lure them into the woods, man. That's some like David. Yeah. This is the shit David Paulides warns us about.
Yep.
Never go alone.
So.
Just don't go at all.
Just don't go at all.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, so that's just a short little story I have for tonight.
Oh, spooky. Spooky as hell.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like I said, it's a strange place, so.
Yeah, from the few stories you've told us, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I got
portal to hell.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome, man. All right, we'll talk to you again.
Just another.
Right.
Just another reason to avoid Alberta.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's from Alberta, but I think they said the spook hole is from Ontario or something.
Yeah.
No, Ontarible. Another reason to avoid Ontarible then. Yeah. No thanks.
Little spook hole.
Are we terrifying. We should do a case file on spook hole.
Just investigate the spook hole ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Have to go on shit location. Down and see what happens.
All right. We got another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Chris?
Oh, no, it's not Chris.
Who is it?
That's not Chris from Denver?
That doesn't sound like Chris from Denver.
This is, Leroy from West Texas.
Leroy from West Texas.
What's up, Leroy?
It's cracking.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Now that you're talking about it, I thought it was pretty similar, though.
Brayden was trying to get ahead of the curve there. I thought it.
Yeah.
I am from Denver City.
Hey,
West close. Texas. And not Denver, but Denver City, small little town.
Go. Cool. What do you got for us tonight?
Yeah. Oh man, I wanted to talk to y'all. You know, remember y'all's case file, you know, with the Lubbock lights?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to give a little insight on that.
Sure. Please do.
The direction, some of the directions y'all gave were a little botched, but that's all good. The town I grew up in is about an hour away from Lubbock. But what I had was, you know, the whole story of the Lubbock lights, there was never no mention of Reese Air Force Base, which sits right outside of Lubbock. And during World War II, it was specifically designed to train bomber pilots.
Okay.
So I don't know. I was just, I know there was no mention of that in the case files, and I've always kind of wondered if, you know, maybe they
were flying some, testing something off that airbase.
Yeah, possibly so. You know, that always, you know, I always wondered about that. And funny little insight is about, you know, west of Lubbock, when y'all did the whole level land UFO. Well, just so happened to be my grandfather grew up in level land, and he was about 9 years old when that happened.
Oh, did you? Did you send us something like a while ago saying something about that?
Maybe so. I did send a beer that was called Lubbock Life. I did post up a picture on Facebook about that.
Okay. Yeah, it's ringing a bell. That's cool, though. Did he ever spill any information about it?
Yeah, because it just so happened to be the sheriff that had as well seen that stuff. Sheriff Weir Clem was my great-grandfather's, one of his best friends.
Oh, cool connection.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. And so, you know, my grandfather, you know, he told me that when he came over to their house and was kind of giving insight on it, you know, he says, swears up and down he saw what he saw. He said, my grandfather said Project Blue Book guys were in and out of Leveland for about 2 weeks after that incident.
Oh, shit.
And so thought that was pretty neat that there was kind of that connection there. And so my grandfather's always been interested in the whole thing. And it was about years later, right after the Korean War, my grandfather, you know, was a career airman. My great-grandfather was. And after he retired out of the Air Force, he kind of was deciding what he wanted to do with his life. And he decided to go into private security. And he ended up, since he was a retired airman, they kind of wanted military guys. Some of these bases started wanting to go private, you know, security for them.
Yeah.
And
they wanted the white Broncos.
Hmm.
Do what?
The white Broncos of Area 51.
Private security.
And so my grandfather ended up doing night security for Holloman Air Force Base.
Oh, cool.
Alamogordo, New Mexico. And he had told my grandfather a story. My great-grandfather died in about mid-90s. And that's kind of when the whole UFO craze was kind of kicking up on Fox, and you know, you couldn't go without. My grandfather told me he was went to Leveland to visit my great grandfather, and they were sitting there kind of talking, and some UFO thing came on the TV. They kind of laughed about it. Hey, you remember in 57 when the whole Leveland UFO? And my great grandfather was like, you know, he was one of my good friends and I believed him. You know, he told me he saw what he saw, and I didn't take the guy for a liar. And he kind of said, and he told my grandfather this. He was like, and just so happens, he was like, when you're working night security for an Air Force base, it's pretty neat to sit there and you're checking in some trucks coming in, or you know, some their armored little convoy.
I'd be peeking under every tarp. Mm-hmm. Every tarp that came by, I'd be peeking.
Oh, for sure.
And this is it. He was like, he was like, when one armored convoy came in, the Sheriff Weir Clem and that some of them claimed to see. He's like, it was pretty interesting that you end up seeing one kind of under that tarp.
Yeah, no doubt.
Same style of craft.
Weird. That'd be so cool to see. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, and you know, it's just pretty interesting. I thought I'd call in with that. He kind of said he ended up fully believing his friend, because he just so happened when he was doing that, he kind of saw some pretty weird stuff coming in there.
Yeah, fuck, that's really cool.
But yeah, I was just going to give that little story, and you know, I guess you can take it with a grain of salt if so, but
no,
but that was pretty neat. And I was just, I was just wondering,
love hearing that shit.
Yeah. And so I was just wondering what kind of y'all thought on that whole thing. What I know y'all kind of already did it on the case file and talked, but I was going to give a little insight and see if, you know, possibly with a, you know, cause it, every time you hear about the Lubbock Lights, you don't get no mention
of the Air Force Base.
Yeah, that was sitting right outside of it. So maybe it was something there. Maybe they were just testing something.
Yeah, maybe that's why you don't, when you research the story, you don't hear about it. It's like kind of like, you know, not covered up, but just like omitted, purposely omitted from a lot of stories. Just like, just don't point anyone in that direction, at least.
Yeah, exactly. But then also, you know, when they people were calling in saying that they seen something outside of Levland dropping down on the highway, not too far down the road is Clovis, New Mexico. And it wasn't shortly after it's not as popular, you know, or widely known, but they started getting similar reports outside there, which Clovis, New Mexico has a Air Force base as well.
Huh, cool.
Which is about an hour and 40 minutes from Lubbock.
Short flight.
So I thought that was pretty compelling when they're getting reports of something there too. If maybe the whole Levland UFO was maybe just our military testing something and running it between all these little Air Force bases.
Yeah, perhaps, could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're moving it or something. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah, I just thought y'all'd be interested to hear that.
Awesome. Hey, well, we appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Hey, cheers, man.
Happy Mother's Day to y'all's women in y'all's lives.
You as well, brother. You as well.
All right, thanks, man.
All right. Bye.
Take care of yourself.
It's always cool to hear like stories of like, it's like I had a family member who, you know, kind of witnessed one of these close at first hand.
It says like 6 degrees to separate of Kevin Bacon, right? It's always nice to see like someone calls us and they're like, hey, my uncle knew this guy. It's like, hey, we're only 4 degrees off of the Lubbock Lights, boys.
Not bad. All right, let's bring in another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, what's up, man? Dez from California.
Dez from California. Thanks for calling in.
Wait, is this Chris from Denver?
And also, I'm pretty sure me and Braden are wearing the same car hat right now.
Prove it.
Oh, you should probably take it off then. You don't want to be associated.
Yeah, right.
This is a one of a kind.
I have a weird UFO story.
A weird... Perfect. You're in the right place.
So I got up at like 5 a.m. to go to work, and as soon as I walk out the door, I see these two orange orbs that are just like floating past the tree line. And at first I'm like, all right, it's just an airplane or something, but they're going super slow. And then all of a sudden, like I started recording it actually, but I got it on film, and they float up and then just disappear.
Hmm.
So that's not the crazy part of it. I posted it on Instagram, and then my buddy, him and his wife were in LA, and they're like, we saw the same thing from over here. And they sent a video of the same exact two orange orbs floating. And that's 8 hours away.
Oh, cool.
It's an interesting with those like orange orbs, like, cause there's like I'm on the MUFON database, and there is, I would say the most interesting ones are always these just like floating orbs that they kind of stay linked in the distance they drift with each other, but they'll fade out and fade back in, and more will fade out and fade back in. And it's always these like orange lights, like at dusk or dawn, You see them in the sky, like on a horizon or something. It was very interesting. So send us those videos.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, of course. I have both, actually, because they sent me the videos. Actually, he's probably listening to it right now. Shout out. What's up, Zach?
What's up, Zach?
Yeah. It didn't float like a airplane or anything, or a helicopter. That's why it caught my attention, because I was walking outside and it's still dark. What the hell is that? Soon I pulled out my phone, because I'm not going to miss another video of a UFO.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
Not going to be that guy.
We need more people like you out there.
Yeah, thank you. They floated super slow and then they just disappeared out of nowhere. And in the video, you hear me go, oh, and they're gone.
And then they showed up 8 hours away. Someone else has the same sighting.
No, 8 hours away, yeah. Same time zone, but 8 hours away, they sent the same video.
Ain't no China lanterns.
Yeah, too big, boy.
Of course not. That was one of the things I thought, too, because I've seen those before. And I'm like, oh, shit, UFO. But then I found out it's just, you know, the fire lamps. But that's not possible.
No, I don't think not going to drift that far.
Well, and the amount of time I'm like the amount of times people like will see those and be like, oh, they're just those lanterns. I'm like, all right, man, then we got a serious issue with people flying these off nonstop.
Yeah, what is going on?
I don't know anybody that does that in real life. So how often are people just lighting those lanterns all the time?
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Like, especially, you know, if this was, you know, an Asian country, I might be a little more prone to be like, okay, maybe. But, like, it's not big over here in the West. Like, I've never seen Chinese lanterns going off, other than, like, on a patio, but they're strapped to, like, a string, right? Like,
not drifting as a fire hazard through the sky. Yeah.
You're not going to see 8 hours away.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's a UFO, like UFO right there.
I got one question for y'all. And this is super late, but I've been thinking about it for a while. Do you guys think the whole Travis Scott thing was like a blood sacrifice?
Travis. Was that the concert where like all the people got
trampled
and shit, and he was like, they were like, the ambulance was right in front of him. He didn't even stop the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen the whatever YouTubes and stuff and of that, of being like, oh, this stage had satanic Illuminati symbolism and stuff like that. I did think it was weird that he didn't even bother stopping the show. You know, there's always the saying, the show must go on, but it's pretty set. Like, you've seen hundreds of other bands stop a show because someone's in medical distress.
Yeah.
To like, clear the crowd, back up, right? Like, you've seen that. So I don't know how old that Travis Scott is. I don't know how much he saw, but there was videos where he looks like he's singing and looking directly at people.
He's only 30,
CPR.
He's 31.
People are climbing up the stage and saying like, hey, people are dying right now. And he still kept going.
Yeah.
It seems sketchy.
It was interesting. I've seen all those videos. I don't know. It seems like it doesn't really seem like a really good ritualistic sacrifice. It just seems like terrible planning and a little bit of bad oversight to me. But like, yeah, I remember the where you're walking in, there's some occult symbolism and stuff to the interests of the Juice World or whatever it was. And I seen that. I'd have to take a deep dive into it before I kind of really made a judgment call, but I'm aware of that, of those accusations. Yeah, I mean,
that was just a poorly managed festival. That many people all like stage crushing. It's like, we've learned our lesson in the past of how not to let that happen. And the reason that still happens is like kind of mind boggling sometimes.
It seemed like a Faustian bargain to me.
What was that?
It seemed like a Faustian bargain to me.
So just me, or is he
I he's cutting out.
Like, it was nothing was paid attention to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a
it was planned.
That, yeah, tragic event. I mean, it's like, how do you know like that someone's being sacrificed though? You just had poor management, and then people got trampled and crushed. I guess if you, I mean, if you studied past festivals where people that happened to be like, all right, if we want people to die here, this is what we do. We overfill it. Don't put up the barriers.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, but.
Like, is this to appease Moloch or something? Like, I just don't know. Like, is it, you know, did they.
Who's the sacrifice to?
Right. Yeah. Who's the sacrifice to? And like, what, like.
Whatever demon you need to sacrifice to get more fame.
But is it one of those things where it's like, you know, like, I guess I just don't know the ins and outs of
not well versed,
sacrificing of human rituals. Cause I'm like, in my head, I'm like, shouldn't there have been some candles lit? Like, you know, like maybe some symbols drawn, like they should have been like sacrificed in the center of a pentagram or something. I don't know.
I haven't really looked into the occult angle on that. I seen it as a musician as a terrible event of concert planning, because it's not the first time people have been crushed and trampled at like a large event. So I don't know.
I'd also want to know that why certain
multiple people were getting crushed and killed and nothing stopped. Like, you know, like even like it's super random, but Bring Me the Horizon, some girl got crushed and they stopped it immediately. You know, this is the first time I've seen it not stop, and this dude seemed like he was like, yes, this is what I wanted.
Yeah,
seemed off.
Yeah, it didn't, tragic event, but yeah, it's hard to speculate on. I don't really know what the symbolism was or what the stage looked like.
I have to do a deep dive into it. Further than just some, a couple YouTube videos.
I request an episode like the occult in Hollywood would be great.
We talked about with Greg Carlin a long time ago some of the occult stuff, but we didn't get too deep into a lot of it. I mean, there's endless channels of stuff to look into for sure.
Gotcha.
But it's not a.
Well, thanks for taking the call, man.
All right, have a good one.
Take care of yourself.
Bye. Yeah, that was a tragic event, man. How many people but didn't some like young kids die, like 9-year-old or
13-year-olds or something ridiculously young, but yeah.
I mean, that's happened so many times in concert planning over the years, like some really bad ones.
If you looked up events like where one or two people got injured or something, like I don't think it's a rare occurrence.
No, injured not, but like trampled and like pretty much crushed to death by the crowd crush, like everyone pushing forward and you're at the front and like you can't breathe and you die. Yeah. You can't get out. It's like a terrible thing. Yeah, 100,000 people all like pushing towards the front. Get me closer. And sometimes like the artist eggs people on, like bring it in. And then like the people at the front.
take it back.
Step back. Everyone take 3 steps back. Yeah. All right, let's bring another caller in. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Fuck you guys, I called, wow.
Fuck you, you did. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Christicles. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Christicles?
And everything you guys said last time about Calgary, it's all true.
It's
we talk a lot of shit about Calgary. So.
It's all true. I mean, last time as in anything ever said about Calgary. I can confirm. It's all true.
Hey, the house prices are way better there. So that's all they got going for now. You're going to get a massive wave of people from BC moving back because no one could afford to live here anymore.
It's true. It's very true. All right. So I'm sweating. I'm so nervous. I've been listening for so long. You guys got me through 2021 and you guys are amazing. I just want to say that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Don't be nervous though. We're just a couple of duds over here.
We're sweating too.
Yeah. Yeah. Braden's always sweaty.
Yeah.
You stay sweaty. So for a little bit of context, I thought what really pushed me to call in today is because it's Mother's Day.
It is.
So I wanted to tell a Mother's Day themed story, ghost story, potentially.
Perfect.
So for context, I just want to say first and foremost as well that I'm actually First Nations and you guys are probably the only like paranormal alien theory podcast that actually references Indigenous peoples really respectfully and don't just revert to everything being built on an Indian burial ground and that's why everything is haunted.
I thought that was just known. We just, we didn't think, felt the need to say it because everyone knows that already.
Well, you would be surprised. Trust me. You would be surprised. Really what happened is we heard you guys were coming and we all just laid spread eagle so we could cover as much surface area. So yeah. Therefore everywhere is an Indian burial ground. That's exactly how that happened.
That makes sense. That, I think it checks out. I think it checks out.
Okay, so for context, again, for this Mother's Day story I have for you guys is my mom is has a plethora of potential mongoose stories as well herself. She nice. Was came out into the city. She's a single mother. So me and my sister, she took care of us and brought us up from the reservation to live in the city and to escape, you know, various, you know, family dramas, domestic violence, that sort of thing. She decided to become a police officer. So there's nice. A bunch of stories she has. I probably have to get her permission before telling a bunch of her mongoose file stories of, you know, a friend of a friend, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
But one story I can share, and it's one of her most, one of the more distinctive stories she shares. We've been paranormally activated, I think, for as long as any of us could remember. There's always been something kind of really unfortunately dark that has followed us through when she was a child, and it affected me and my sister as well when we were children. It affected us more so prior to, you know, becoming adults. So, you know, when you're a child, you're just more haunted automatically.
Yeah.
But there was one weekend we were out. Our first job was at a movie theater and we had to work really, really late, me and my sister. And my mom was the one that actually came out to drive out to pick us up at like 1 a.m. in the morning, super late nights. And so she was driving up a road in Calgary, if people know Sarcee Trail. She was driving up the road there, and it's a kind of overlooks the city. It's a pretty remote kind of road.
What quadrant is that? What quadrant is that in?
The Northwest City. Yeah, so it's kind of like behind like West Hills or whatever, if you know where that is.
No, but I know where Northwest is.
No idea. But if you're, some of the listeners might know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is the dead of winter. Let's put it that way. It's in the northwest of Calgary, Sarcee Trail. It's kind of a remote and it is snowing. It is a full on blizzard. We got.
So this could be any date of the year between January and just like December, any time really in Calgary.
It literally snowed today. Listen. Okay. So it is 1 a.m., spooky night. Snowing. She's driving out to the movie theater to come pick us up from work when we were done. When she's driving along, she notices that there is like a figure, a shape off to the side of the road walking. Now there's no, if you know this road, there is no sidewalks on this road. And the hill, it's like a really steep hill. And so there's quite a bit of distance on the hill to where there's residential like houses, like above where the road is and down the hill where the road is. And these are closed off like houses. These are private houses and like estates almost basically. Mm-hmm. And so she's driving and there's this figure and it seems to be male. And she's like, what the hell? So she's driving and all of a sudden she notices that the figure turns around and she's still kind of away. So she can't see like who the person is, but they turn around and she like, squints and was like, what the frick is that? And it's a guy and he's younger and he's kind of got emo hair or whatever, but he's standing in nothing but dark skinny jeans and a leather jacket. Like it's nothing really heavy, nothing suited for the weather. And that's what her first thought is that this guy isn't wearing proper clothes for the weather and he's shirtless.
Oh, you guys ran into the crow.
Oh, that's fucking punk rock.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's smirking. She drives and he's smirking and she tries her best not to look in the rearview mirror as she drives. And she just presses, you know, foot to pedal and she just goes. She refuses to look in the back of her mirror because she was just like, because he stopped and he turned to watch the vehicle.
Well, then you know what happens. If you look in the back of the mirror, then he's in the back seat. That's what happens. Everyone knows this.
That's exactly what she said. Oh.
That's common knowledge. I don't even have a rear view mirror. I broke it off.
Yeah, so she's like not doing that. She went and she like picked us up and like went straight home. Usually we'll do like a dark lunch kind of run to McDonald's because, you know, it's 1 a.m. and we're teenage girls. So we're like, wow, nuggets. But she was just like, no, we're going straight home. We went straight home. She like lit a smudge dead of night, smudged the whole house, smudged our room, smudged the door. Like it was a lot. And we're like, mom, what's going on? And it was only then that she kind of said what happened after she did all that. It was so spooky. But that is only just one of the plethora of stories I could tell amongst just my mom's history as well and my history. Like I've had so many spooky things.
Does your mom have some kind of dark secret that the crow, the spirit of vengeance, would be after her for some reason? Is that why she moved off the reservation?
No. Definitely not my mom, but definitely maybe potentially more of my family. If the people, some of the listeners who might be more familiar with like indigenous kind of culture or whatever, sometimes there's just kind of some bad medicine that some people put out into the world or put to people individually and directly. It's kind of like very voodoo-ish, very like bad kind of magic, if you can think of it that way. So we've just unfortunately have been subjected to a lot of, you know, jealousies and kind of unfair, I don't know what you would even say, I guess just a lot of baseless jealousy over from like what a lot of people think, you know, from back home on the reservation. So sometimes it's direct family. So that's why we don't really have a whole ton of close ties to our personal family without delving into the details. But yeah, there's some bad medicine that kind of people put out into the world. And we've just been the direct kind of, I guess, target for a lot of it. And that's what I've had to like deal my whole life with between, you know, sleep paralysis, literally some demonic exposure.
Well, and with your mom being an RCMP or a law enforcement member, I mean, that's not really, they're not looked in the best of light, especially in the indigenous communities.
No, exactly. Actually, just to brag about my mom, because, you know, Mother's Day. Is actually the first indigenous police officer in the city of Calgary history.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Good awesome. For her.
Yeah.
Big cheers to your mother today.
Thank you. I will tell her. No, she retired early and everything. She was just like, no, I'm done. I'm done with it.
She did her time.
But I would be really interested to see if she was willing to share some of her friend of a friend mongoose stories someday, because she's got some wild stories.
Oh, we'd love to hear them.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I know you guys would love them, but I didn't want to do a personal story today because it was Mother's Day, and I was just nervous to call in.
No, don't be nervous. We appreciate the call. Yeah, make sure to get your mom's permission for a few more juicy stories.
Oh, there's some juicy ones. I have some personal juicy ones, but I wanted to tell the mom story today. The one that I know she would be okay with me saying, because it didn't happen when she was on duty or anything.
Right. Yeah, no, we love those stories, and we know our listeners love those type of, you know, mongoose file type of stories, like happened to a friend of a friend, even though you've told us that this happened to your mother, but...
Start Mongoose Nation.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could.
Yeah, I know there's, I mean, any type of like first responder emergency team would have this like unlimited crazy stories. If you kind of just like separate the events and the names, but like still tell the story in a way, you know, it's cool.
Where people aren't going to get fired or sued.
Fired or sued. We're trying to minimize those on this show as much as we can.
Oh.
Or get a formal talk from your boss.
Yeah, stern talking to you from the boss. Awesome. Well,
I wanted to say thank you again and, you know, enjoy my first call in.
No, we appreciate it. And glad we could help you get through one of those years of the pandemic. And we hope you stick around listening for a long time to come.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good one. Have
Cheers.
A good day. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
And because of the late start, that's going to have to be my last call of Cosmic Channels. We're going to end it one call early today. Hopefully next recording we'll back to normal here, because that was an absolute travesty.
Back to regular time. And you know, we'll iron out the kinks.
And if you're listening right now and you want to call in and leave a message, I'm going to turn on the answering machine for people who are hoping to call in tonight. Maybe they can tell their stories, or if you missed it today.
That's it.
Leave it there.
Believe and we will it try or not, and ATT isn't at home. Please leave a message
after the tone.
We might be gone, but pick up the phone. Where could we be? Believe it or not, ATT's not home. Is that our message?
Yeah. I want you to record it just like that, and I will put that as a message.
Yeah, I will. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.